you. Okay. No, I'm all right. Not too bad. Been a long evening. No, simply no. I enjoy it. Oh, good for you. Should have had the whiskey. Yeah, go for it. Can't hear the music at all. No, not at all. Oh, maybe. So you can hear the... So there's music playing. When I used to ring up my phone, you could hear the music playing, and that was strange because as you start, you've got the phone to your ear, and you. Yes, John.
The mic was not on. Okay. I guess maybe I should start over, huh? Could they hear a thing? Okay, I thought I did too, and I kept wondering why I wasn't hearing myself. Okay, well, hello there. Nothing like, a little operator error. Well, you know, as I've said before, it's fashionable to be late. Well, it's Debbie Hazelton here with you on ACB Radio Mainstream, filling in for Marlena on the Marlena program. It is Monday morning, 1 o'clock UTC. It is Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern PM, 8 o'clock PM Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. If you're listening to this at any other time, you're hearing the recording of this mainstream program that will continue to play throughout the rest of the broadcast day. With me is the board guy on my end of things, Larry T., who some of you know from ACB Radio Interactive, from Anything Goes on Friday morning, 1 o'clock UTC, and Saturday, 0 UTC, I believe, the dance party. And he helps me out with the relationship connection and has been so graciously helping me out, filling in for Marlena on these times when I've been doing that. And I have a special guest. Some of you might have seen the announcement that went out earlier. I have Paul Nugent, who's been on the Marlena program a couple of other times before. And we're going to talk about reincarnation, one of my favorite topics. And so if you would like to call in, 866-666-7926. And in the second hour, Skype will also be available if you would like to reach us in that way. But for now, let's begin. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Good morning, Debbie. How's life treating you?
Well, I was trying to get this phone to... Nope, that's not going to work. That's if a caller calls in. Life is life is treating me rather... well, very interesting, shall we say. It's been an interesting time. I just moved, and I'm into all kinds of new things. But it's good. How are you doing? You're in the UK, and it's after 1 a.m. So
that's right. That's right. Everyone else in this country is asleep, apart from me.
And here you are, so graciously spending time with us.
Great.
That's
I enjoy it.
Wonderful.
I enjoy doing it.
So how did you get interested in this topic of reincarnation?
Well, I mean, not to bore you, because I've mentioned it before, but about 25, 26 years ago, I suppose, I started this journey. I think I said before that I went to Egypt many years ago, and in that time when I was in Luxor, not being able to see very well, I sneaked in via the exit. I thought it was the entrance, I think, and went in by the exit. And it was closing down, and it was all very, you know, all lit up, and my sight was a lot better in those days. And Luxor's just looking over the Valley of the Kings, just across the other side of the Nile from the Valley of the Kings. And I sat there, and I just had this incredible feeling of being there before. I not had experienced before, and to be honest with you, I've not had it since. But it's an incredibly strong feeling that I couldn't understand. And so I started thinking, did I imagine that? And I'm not that sort of person. I don't kind of have that sort of imagination. Well, I have imagination, but I certainly have both feet firmly on the ground.
Yeah.
I tried. And so it was just, it was a very unusual experience and very real. And it started me on the journey, really.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I always know when something comes to me intuitively, when it is something that I really can trust, it hits me like a thought that I hadn't had before. It's not something I thought about before. It's a new kind of thing that comes into my mind. And it sounds like this was a real surprise to you, that it came into your mind in uncharacteristic of how you normally would think.
That's exactly right, and that's a very good way, Debbie, of describing it. The thoughts aren't actually part of yourself; they come from somewhere else, and you're very surprised yourself that you've actually had those thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's happened a few times in my life, and you don't expect it, and all of a sudden something pops into your head, and you think, "Where did that come from?"
And you just know.
That's right. I think the difficulty is that I find is I've got a very chatty brain, if you see what I mean. It tells me all sorts of things, and usually a load of nonsense and rubbish during the day. But like everyone, but occasionally these thoughts come into your head, and they're pure and very succinct, shall we say, and they're very to the point, and they're very different from the way you normally think.
Yes.
And you think, and you recognize them as something very separate from who you are, really.
When I get
someone's
those,
telling you something, sorry.
Sure, yeah. Someone's telling you something. When I get them, I know that it's not something to even debate, and I'm perfectly at peace with it. I might feel almost like some electricity, like, okay, here we go. Here's something new that's just got my attention. But I remember that reincarnation came to me when I was 8. I remember two different occasions where I was previously fascinated with heaven and death and Christ and all that kind of stuff, and I used to try to reach up and see if I could touch heaven, like the ceiling or something. And I remember thinking about sitting up there and being, you know, all the angels up there and everything. And all of a sudden I had this sense that it would make more sense if we were used more than once, rather than just dying and being done with, if we came back again and again and again. And I remember thinking that God would make it so that we wouldn't remember, so that we would live in the moment. Now, that's pretty incredible for an 8-year-old to get.
Yeah. Indeed.
And I remember I remember going to my mother and saying, you know, I think that this makes more sense. And she said, oh, that's reincarnation. Well, I didn't even know how to pronounce that word. And I, even for a while after she said it, I didn't know what she said. And she said, people who are real primitive believe in that. And you know, I didn't even know what primitive was. And I thought, well, boy, I said, oh, they're really smart. And she said, no, no, those are people in India. They're real primitive. And I thought, well, I don't know, but it sure sounds smart to me, you know.
Well, I must submit, you know, the idea of it being primitive is quite interesting, isn't it? Because, being primitive means it's kind of without thought, I always think. Someone who's supposed to be primitive, people say someone's primitive. They mean they're not sophisticated, and therefore, you know, they don't have a great deal of thing going for them. But to me, to believe in something like this takes actually thought, a lot of thought, because it's not something you can just, you know, oh yeah, I believe in reincarnation and walk away from, because it's something that literally changes your life, because it changes the way you see other people, and that's the thing, and how you see yourself in relation to them.
So how has it changed you and how you see other people?
Well, I think it's the fact that, you know, that there's people that are very prejudiced against other people, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Whether someone's a Jew, or whether they're black, or whether they're white, or whether they're in a wheelchair, or whether they're a woman, or whatever it happens to be. You know, there's always someone that got a prejudice against somebody else. And to me, reincarnation is a great leveler. You know, I'm white in this life. I'm blind in this life. I could have been black in the last life. I could have been Chinese in the last life. I could have been a woman in the last life. You know, so all the things that we have prejudiced against, you have to think yourself, hold on a minute. Perhaps I've already been there. Maybe, you know, I'm not advanced yet. And maybe that's what I'll be doing next time round. And I think that really makes you feel, well, much more part of a, not a team so much, much part of a family, you know.
Yeah, sure. I think, well, and I really think we are. I mean, you know, but it gives new meaning to that phrase, been there, done that, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. Of course, that we may have not been there and done that.
Right.
That we may next time around.
Yeah.
That's right. But I think it's a complete package. You know, we see ourselves here in this physical life, and we always think of ourselves saying, what happens after we die? That's what we think. Everyone thinks that.
Sure.
You know, they would think, okay, nothing happens, or something happens, or whatever. But you see, reincarnation means, what have I been doing before I took this life? And therefore, you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, maybe this life is just a transient thing, and the real me and the real you and the real everyone else out there is much more than just this physical being that we are today.
I believe that. I definitely believe that. And yeah, I mean, this is just fascinating. I want to remind people that if you do want to call in, 866-666-7926, you can call in and express your ideas on this subject, ask a question, speak to Paul, and get involved in this fascinating topic. Have you had any sort of near-death experiences or anything like that that...
Well, no, I haven't, actually, oddly enough. Not that I can remember. I've been part of this Erasmus Foundation for a long time now, and the reason why I accept so much what I do accept is because we had a lady called Lady Bettina Cole, who was a deep trance medium. I mean, she's gone home now. She's no longer with us physically. But she was able to leave her body spiritually and another spirit take its place. And you know, again, I, you know, people think, what an idiot. What is this idiot talking about?
Well, it is,
but, it was, your spirit that was coming through to us, and there were several types of spirits, several different spirits coming talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the main one that was talking to us was, that's how we got her name, the Erasmus Foundation, was Desideramus Erasmus, who, in his last life on Earth, was the philosopher in the time of Henry VIII. And you know, again, when I went along to join this foundation, just it for interest's sake, I went along and sat around and listened to this, and you know, okay, it's, I think I've said before, it sounded like someone putting on voices, which, you know, I had a bit of a laugh. I was only young then, mm-hmm. a bit older and cranky now, but then I was quite young, and you know, I just went along because it was interesting, but I didn't initially believe that the spirit was talking. I thought that the lady was putting on voices. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But over the years, these spirits have talked to us. I mean, many of them, and they're all different personality. And you know, even to the state of one night, and I'll say this because, you know, it's a kind of physical proof that the spirit always said that when they entered the body, that the lungs and the pulse of the person whose body it was being used, which is in this case,
okay. We're back on the air? All right, I'm so sorry. Technical difficulties. We lost the stream. We lost our great speaker. We'll get him back on the line. It's Debbie Hazelton filling in for Marlena on the Marlena program. And you're on ACB Radio Mainstream. And I hope you stayed with us. And it is, about 20 after... 20 after 1 UTC time, 20 after 8 Eastern, 20 after 7 Central, 20 after 6 Mountain, and 20 after 5 Pacific. And if you're hearing us any other time, it's because this is continuing to replay throughout the broadcast day. 866-666-7926. We're talking about reincarnation, and we're going to get our dearly beloved speaker back on the line, who's graciously staying awake past 1 a.m. in the U.K. He said at least it's not the summer, because when he was on last time, it was after 2. What a gracious man. So, I don't know. I've had people say that nobody's been able to prove reincarnation. Well, you know,
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Uh-oh.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Unavailable. Paul, we're trying to get to you. I don't know what's happening. We lost you and the stream, so we'll keep trying. Okay, you can let that go. Did that hang up? Okay. Keep trying. I didn't hear it hang up, so I didn't know. But anyway, I've had people say, oh, they think that there should be proof. Well, you know what? To me, the importance is, what do you feel in your heart? What feels right? And I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think there are many different paths or many different ways to get to... I mean, I think our spiritual process is so powerful that many different roads can take us where we need to go. I think it's going to ring now. I think this is ringing. Let's see.
Hello.
Oh, you poor thing. I'm sorry we lost you and the stream.
Oh, no.
Yes. I wondered how long you talked before you realized, and then I kept talking before I realized that we had lost the stream.
Oh, my goodness. Are we back together now?
We are. We're back on the air. Yes, indeed.
Right.
So you were talking about this person with many different voices and being able to have different... spirits in that one body?
Well, I mean, that yeah, okay. It's not quite like that. She literally was able to leave her body and another spirit take its place, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, again, this was... it sounds rather unusual if you're not used to it. But I've had sort of a good 20-odd years of this, and it became almost normal. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to pinch yourself mm-hmm. to think that, hold on, what the experience you were having. And it wasn't as if the spirit that was talking was going, oh, no, and all this sort of stuff. There was none of that.
No.
Because that's why I liked it, because although I at first I wasn't sure about the who was actually speaking, whether it was Padina putting it on voice, although I didn't really believe that right from the word go, really, if I really thought about it. But I certainly, you know, I wasn't sure about it.
Sure.
But they would talk to me and to whoever was in the room exactly as you and I are discussing it,
mm-hmm.
and answer the questions that you would put to them. And it was all very... I was amazed by it. For years, it was something that I felt privileged to be there. And literally, the questions you would ask, they would endeavour to answer. And I find over the years, because we've got a whole load of tapes of these things, one of my jobs is at the moment to actually translate these into digital, and it was at least over 300 of these things I've got to go through. And each time I listen to them, I get more out of them.
I bet.
Yeah. I mean, it's you seem to think you know these things, but every time further down the line, it's like peeling an onion, that you go deeper and deeper in something and have a deeper understanding of what was being said to you. And you realize that this is the most amazing thing, is however much you seem to know, you realize you're barely scratching the surface to what's mm-hmm. actually the knowledge that is out there. You know, you're really scratching the surface.
I think,
Sorry, Debbie, carry on.
I was just going to say, to me, that comes with age. For me, that is something I appreciate more. The older I get, the more I know how much I don't know, you know. But that's with age for me.
I to a certain degree, but I think also with understanding, I suppose age and understanding goes hand in hand, doesn't it? But again, you know, it was all very much about how to live your life and to get to know yourself. This is what the main things were about, to bring yourself into balance, to make sure that you give truth at all times, all this sort of thing. And so it's not just about a belief system that you can just shove in your pocket and let it rust or gather dust. It's a complete change of your life, or a change
something,
of my life.
Yeah, something that really we can use.
Karen, yes,
what do you
I
think?
Agree.
I've heard some people say that we are probably, on many levels, we're probably living many different lives at one time. Not just one after the other. Have you heard that?
I've heard it mentioned, but I've got to be honest, it's not something that I can agree to myself.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's not something that I was taught, because each one of us has a spirit within us,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that spirit, because it's a physical world, that spirit is within this physical world contained, if you like. But I don't see why. I think spirit in its pure purity has a mind of great strength that we really barely get to use when we're down here in this physical universe. So, you know, I'm not saying that you can't do more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Only you women can do that. Us men can't do that anyway. But as a spirit, I think, I think it's much stronger, much more pure, and has more abilities than definitely is what we have down here on Earth.
How much do you think is planned or, you know, decided before we come in, and how much do you think we choose or alter once we're here?
Well, I believe in tapestries of life. I believe that the great mind, God, whoever you like to call him, the great mind, I think covers it really nicely, because I think he is a great mind of a universe, a great, great planner and a great creator of all things around us. He produced these tapestries that we live to. I think nothing happens by chance. That's what I believe. But, say, for example, in our case, Debbie, that we both are visually impaired. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was tapestried.
Okay.
Now, how we deal with that blindness is entirely up to us.
Sure.
We could either be positive about it, or we could be negative about it, or we could be something in between. And we can be, inspirational, or we can be someone that people would shun and wouldn't want to be with. And that is entirely down to us. So the actual, almost the structure, of how we live our life is like a blueprint that I see it a bit. A bit like if you imagine what we call the tube in London, the underground or whatever it is, a bit like a tube map. And going right through the middle of London would be what's called the Piccadilly line.
Okay.
And if you lived your life correctly as it was meant to live, you'd go straight down the middle of that Piccadilly line.
So I want to do the Piccadilly line through the day, through my life.
Right.
Yep, do that Piccadilly. Mm-hmm.
But the most of us would go off down little alleyways.
Oh yeah.
And go off on a little sidings and dead ends. But eventually we'd always get back onto that Piccadilly line.
I call those research projects.
yeah, right, very nice. they can be quite painful, can't it, those research products?
Oh, indeed, yes, indeed. But boy, what a way to collect data.
But I think, if you look at this tapestry, what's meant to be, I believe the beginning of the tapestry is obviously when we enter this life, and the end of the tapestry is when we die. That's preordained. There's definitely no one ever dies before their time. You always hear this, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hear, someone die before their time. And I believe whatever age or whatever reason someone ends their life or finishes their life, it was meant to be, whether it was suicide, whether it was quietly fallen asleep and drifted off into death at night, or whether it was murder or whatever it was tapestried to be. And that's the way you would live your life. That is the end of your tapestry, your life here on Earth.
And that life, yeah. What do you think about, I've heard it called group, I guess it's group karma, or groups that travel together through lifetimes and are with each other lifetime after lifetime, do you think that happens?
I don't see why not. I believe that... the great mind has a reason for us being in existence. You have a reason for existing. I mean, spiritually, not just as Debbie, but as a spirit, mm-hmm. and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that reason is at the moment, I suppose we don't know, but maybe it's something we'll never know. But it's. There's no reason why that there can't be several people that lived a life somewhere on some planet or other, and because of the way maybe that planet ended, maybe it destroyed itself or whatever it happened to be, maybe then those people needed to come back. So I'm going to sound a bit like karma, which I don't believe in. That they experienced that and therefore would need to experience something else together, if you so
believe.
Well,
I guess I've heard it too, that most of the people that we know, including our parents and friends and lovers and all kinds of people, that we've been with them over and over and over, and we're still, with them in different ways over and over. That's why we often might feel like we gravitate towards certain people and really don't feel much of anything for others, because we're not destined maybe to be with those people again, and we are meant to be with certain others. I don't know if you've ever heard of Carolyn Mace. M-Y-S-S.
No, I haven't.
Well, she's wonderful, M-Y-S-S.com. She writes a lot of interesting stuff, and she has a book called Sacred Contracts, where she describes the contractual types of arrangements that we make with each other before we come into this life, and that we have many different contracts. We have maybe a larger contract that we're here to do, but we also have many other contracts with different kinds of relationships, many different kinds of relationships with other people, where we agree ahead of time that we're going to be there for each other, and we're going to learn from or teach each other various things.
Well, that may well be the case. I mean, all I'm saying is the fact that there is a tapestry.
I agree.
And it may be that the parent, your parents, you've lived a life with before, and maybe they're not. Mm. But there are sometimes, though, in your life, you must have come across it. It happens now and again when you least expect it. You bump into someone that you've never met in your life, never seen them before, and somehow you get talking. And you tell them everything about yourself, and they tell you everything about them. And you might be on the train, and you've got this feeling that you've known them so well, and then you say goodbye and off you go, and that's the last time you see them. It may be in half an hour, maybe 10 minutes, but to me, they're people that spiritually, you know, when we go home, when we finish our life, they're the sort of people perhaps that we've known many times before, and just so happens to be that we happen just be passing like ships in the night in this particular life. And maybe there's others that we feel we know pretty well in this life, that maybe it's only the first time we've ever shared a life with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way of knowing, but I think some people, you know, and I think it might even be just the age of spirit, Debbie. So you've got an older spirit, and if they met another person who also has an older spirit in them, there might be more in common than, say, with someone with a younger spirit or someone who has a much older spirit.
Yes, that makes sense. I heard someone say that we go through cycles, that we have several lifetimes within cycles where we could be young and then old, but then that we also start other cycles. Have you heard that?
Well, the only thing I can say to that is the fact that I believe, this is what I believe, that we start off as a very young, well, we're created by the Grey Mind God, yeah? And we then proceed to take lives, depending, you know, I mean, obviously the lives we take initially are very simple and very easy compared with the ones we're taking now, for example, and because the younger spirit couldn't deal with a more complicated life. And I think the idea is that we see all things, be all things, and do all things. And so the lives that we live would not be the same, because the life that we choose would be chosen in the light of the fact that we at the time would be spirit, and we'd be looking at things in great truth. We wouldn't be like, we haven't got the problems like we have down here with all the physicality. We would look at a life and say, yeah, that's pretty tough, but I think I can do it. So we'd live a life. And maybe we live a life for ourselves, and maybe we live in a life for others. But I think it's very much like the teacher and the pupil. I think we're all teachers and we're all pupils during our lifetime.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some people that we would teach, and some people that would teach us.
Oh, I so agree. And I think sometimes, like you're saying, I think those go on simultaneously. I mean, I think there are times that I may be teaching and learning at the same time, even from the same person.
Absolutely.
You know,
indeed.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk about karma. What is karma to you?
Karma to me is something that doesn't exist, as far as I'm concerned. According to the teachings that I've received, karma does not exist. It's karma to me, what other people say about karma is something. If you've been a naughty boy in this life, then next time you'll get something even harder. okay? Mm-hmm. And then if you're a good boy in this life, then you get something nicer. I mean, if you think about it, that doesn't kind of hang together, because as a spirit progresses, for it to learn more, it will need to have a much harder life than next time, a harder life next time, to learn what it needs to learn. So a young spirit would take a life that looks very pleasant, you know, has a nice, not too many waves in its life, you know, it has a very straightforward life, whereas an older spirit would probably have more thrown at it. Because because it needs that hardship. So the idea of someone having a very difficult life and then saying, okay, you had a very difficult life, therefore, you know, or, you know, you're apparently naughty, according to human terms, then you get a more difficult life. I said, well, that's probably fair enough, because whatever your life is, the next one will be harder because you would expect it to be. And if it was easier, then what would the point be? You know, if you imagine how boring that would be if you had a life that didn't challenge you.
Yeah, okay. I'll add to that in a second here, but someone is trying to Skype. I don't know what that is, but if one of the listeners, if you're trying to Skype, we can't. I don't think we can take you in on this very well on Skype. So if you want to say something, please use the toll-free number, 866-666-7926. I don't know, unless someone is trying to Skype me and not knowing that I'm doing the show. But at any rate, it's funny because I guess I've not wanted to buy into the idea of Skype, of life being so hard. I mean, I know it is, but I really work at finding as much joy in it as I can too, and I don't mean it in a frivolous way. I've certainly been there, done that, but and maybe that's the biggest challenge, is to find the joy in the hard times. I wish that somebody would not try to Skype. I don't know. Is there any way, Larry, of seeing that in the history or something? Okay. But at any rate,
I accept that, Debbie. I accept what you're saying. I mean, it doesn't mean, though, does it? Because a life is hard, it has to be miserable.
Right. It doesn't mean that.
Doesn't, does it? No. It means that it has plenty of challenges.
Yes,
challenges.
It does.
It means that you're going to be put into difficult situations, perhaps, that you will have to use all your strength to get through.
Yeah, like there will be many many mazes for this rat to go through.
Well, that's right. I mean, but again, you see, one of the things, I mean, going back to physicality, you know, one of the things that I feel that's very important in my life is my sense of humor. I mean, without that, I don't know where I'd be.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Yeah. Well, it's the same, isn't it? And but that's looking at that. And what that is really is a sense of humor is not taking yourself too seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a serious subject, but to take yourself too seriously means, you know, I don't know, you get a bit puffed up and you're a bit, you know, I'm really, look at me, I'm really important. But the thing about reincarnation is the fact we're all important. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing.
I agree.
Everyone's important because we're all important to the great mind.
Well, and I agree, and I often think of life's challenges like a box of tissues, you know, the kind that you pull one out and you think, oh, good, I got it, and then you go back to that box, and what do you know? There's another one sticking up waiting for you. You know those boxes of tissues?
I do, with me. Quite often I pull one, and four or five come out afterwards. That's when I find.
I know what you mean. Yeah. And then you go, and then you go back to the box thinking, oh, gosh, I need another tissue, and there aren't any more there.
Yeah, that's right. But there's always more, isn't there?
Yeah, there are always more, I tell you. Very interesting. But yeah, I have heard people sometimes say, "Oh, life is just hard, and that's just the way it is." And I think that's only half the pie, you know. But often, funny people are very serious too. And the good side is, if serious people are also very funny, that's the good side.
Well, I mean, I can go from being really serious to really stupid in a matter of seconds. It's and back again. I think that's just my trait.
You know,
I
think of that as elasticity of spirit. Whatever it is that keeps me going further, you know, and if it's humor, if it's love, if it's optimism, if it's finding another way to be creative or solve something, resolve something, but especially with creativity, I call that elasticity of spirit. Because
Yeah, and I think the thing is that what we have within all of us, when we have it by right, is our own inner strength. And people say, oh, I'm not strong. But they are strong, mm-hmm. but they just haven't found the courage to find that strength. It's within each of us, and we can, because it comes from what I call the great mind. It's kind of bottomless. The strength that we can draw is if we want it, we take it. It's not something, you know, we're given or we are given, but we need to draw on it. And you know, there's a lot of people that give up on the first hurdle, don't they? Oh, I can't jump that. I'll never get across it. And you say, yes, you can. Go for it. And you can get over the next two as well if you put your mind to it. And they, you know, it's just belief in what you're trying to do, and drawing that strength and having the courage to do so.
Yes, I think it is, and I think blindness is one way to really work at that, to get that. I think getting that and having moments of that in the face of so many people that really, in a way, are more blind because they see the surface and are often scared off and reacting to and whatever. I mean, I think to find our self-esteem and hold on to it and that sense of who we are in a higher sense in the midst of all that is just, you know, a phenomenal thing to accomplish in any given moment.
Well, there are so many people, aren't there, who don't like themselves. And I find that very sad.
Yes.
You know, people, oh, no, I don't like myself. And you, I think some people think, well, what does that mean to like yourself? I think it's just acceptance of who you are. You know, warts and all. Mm-hmm. It's not I love myself. God, I'm lovely. It's not that.
It's not that at all.
No, it's a very much an acceptance of who you are, and knowing that the journey you've been on in this life. That I mean, it's been an interesting journey my life, and I wouldn't want to be anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, you know, not saying that I'm better than anybody else, but I've gathered this to myself. It's something I've been through, and this is who I am, and you are somebody else, and equally is important. But I don't want. A lot of people say, oh, I wish I was like you, or you. Someone said, oh, I want to be like that person, and people try to emulate other people, and what they're missing is their own selves, and because they think they don't have self worth, and they don't like themselves. And I just find that very sad. I do.
Well, I do too. And I think that takes a lot of, a lot of willingness to kind of walk through the weeds, you know, walk through the rough kinds of things, and then come out of it and say, you know, I really am okay. And knowing that we do that, hopefully we do that for other people around us. We see them, and I know often by seeing myself in them, but sometimes we do that the other way. We see them and we love them, so then we love ourselves. So it kind of goes flip-flopping around, I think.
I think what I would call it, Debbie, is acceptance.
Yep.
Acceptance of yourself. And when you accept yourself, you realize that you are living a life that is what you're here to do, and that whatever somebody else's life is, that is their tapestry. That's the tapestry the great mind has given them. And you must respect their life. You might not understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not know why they're behaving the way they are or doing what they do. But maybe that there's something in their life that they just need to do, and it's not really any business of yours, except you've got to accept the fact that that's what they're doing.
I have it. Hi, we have a caller, and you're on the air. Hello. Paul. We have Paul on the air. Yeah, we can only handle one call on Skype. Paul, are you able to hear this phone call?
Not very well, no. But okay. Perhaps if you relay the question, that's fine.
You cannot hear Paul.
I can hear him over there. I'm telling him talking over a speaker that's way away from you. So it's coming out over a radio that's somewhere else in the house.
Let me see what I can do here.
Okay, because I was waiting for Paul to finish that thought and then answer, and then we've got two phones in here. We're trying to see what we can do.
Do you want me to call back at some point?
No. I'm glad you're here. We'll just go back and forth to try to make everybody able to be heard. But we can't take another caller on Skype, unfortunately. Okay. All right. I'm hanging this phone up, and we'll let Larry
do what he's doing. Okay.
Has anyone been hearing us, Debbie?
Yes. I think.
Okay, Carl, you still there?
I'm here. This is Dave, and yes.
That's what just having a chat.
Now I can actually hear you guys.
Okay, there you go.
Now you can hear Dave?
I hear Paul better than I hear you, but I can at least hear you kind of, sort of, maybe, so this will work.
Okay. Well, tell us, what are some of your thoughts, Dave?
I'm used to ham radio. Well, I wanted to. I'm a little bit came late on this one, and I actually called with more of a question that may be taking us off the track. I don't know.
That's all right.
First of all, this has been a rather eventful week in this home. Unfortunately, we lost a kitty cat very suddenly on Wednesday, and she died here in the home. Both Pam and I, the other day, Friday morning, we both woke up. We both heard a meow. We both heard it.
Wow.
And Pam has heard it once before. I heard it with her, and we couldn't. It was just once. But we both heard it, and it sounded like it was coming from under the bed, which is one of the cat's favorite hidey holes. Is that a possibility? I mean, do animals have spirits that kind of follow along? And if so, why isn't this poor kitty able to rest? I mean, this is kind of odd to me.
Okay, you heard it after the cat had died.
Yes.
When did the cat die?
About 2 days before.
Okay. Paul, I don't know if you're understanding what Dave said. Did you hear any of that?
He
said they had a cat die and in their home, and 2 days later, he and his wife, both woke up and heard this cat meow, and they both heard it, and they both heard it from under the bed where the cat used to like to hide. And he's wondering if animals have a way of also coming to us after they're gone, and if the cat is able to rest.
Well, I believe that a cat has a spirit. It's not the same sort of spirit that we have, but they do have a spirit, and that these things often happen as proof to us that there is life after death. And I believe that, you know, listening to that, and my first thoughts, like we were talking about earlier on, about comes into your head, my feeling is that someone was trying to tell you that your cat is perfectly okay. It's no longer here on the physical plane, but it's now moved on. And I believe that that cat is at home, and one day you will see it again.
Pam had heard it twice, apparently. I didn't hear the first time. This was it. It was another day. It was the day after. She heard it Thursday, and we both heard it the Friday morning, the night she died, I'm sorry. and she heard it in another room of the house where she also liked to be. So this makes sense. And I'll leave you because I'm sure there are other people that might want to call in.
Well, my sense is also that the fact that you both heard it is confirmation for you that something is communicating with you, has communicated with you beyond the world as we typically know it, and that, you know, in a way I would hope that would be a comfort.
I hope it's a comfort. I hope he's not, you know, in some netherworld hung out there not knowing what to do. That's my, you know, to be honest, that was my first thought is, wait a minute, I hope she's okay. I mean,
yes.
If that makes any sense. Anyway, thanks so much.
But thank you for calling. Thanks for putting up with our technical blah, 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 and good to hear from you. All right. That was Dave and Pam. And Paul, he was saying that, you know, he just is hoping that the cat is okay and not, you know, suffering in any way. And you know, I was saying that I would hope that the fact that they both heard that meowing, that would be confirmation for them that something was communicating with them that's beyond the way that they typically know this world.
Well, again, I think that's what I felt, that the whole thing is that these things occur from time to time. People have these experiences. Out-of-body experience is exactly the same. They have an experience that's different from what they're used to, mm-hmm. and that when they come back, they have this knowledge that there is something beyond what we call the grave. And I think that cat, you know, it's perfectly happy. It's gone home. It's probably, you know, and when I don't remember the gentleman's name.
Dave.
When Dave goes home himself in years and years and years to come, I hope that cat, you will see the cat again. And
yes, I think so too.
That's how I see it. And I think it was just a proof to him,
right,
and to his wife, mm-hmm. that the cat is fine.
866-666-7926. Just a few more minutes of this hour if you would like to call in and speak with Paul or myself and speak about reincarnation. You know, I wonder, Paul, what do you think, where does love come into all of this? What do you think about love and what we're...
That's interesting. Now, this is something a bit controversial for you.
Okay.
We were told by spirit that the word that spirit would use is concern.
Concern. Hmm.
Concern. Because love... Okay. Well, love is very much made up of many things, and it may not all be good. I mean, it can be in love with someone else, and they can have jealousy, can have all sorts of things tied up to it. So love doesn't always need to be, you know, as positive thing. You see,
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I know people use it's semantics here, perhaps different words and things, but the word concern, you can show concern as deep as it, because it's a word that you are showing no selfishness in it at all. It's purely a feeling for someone else in its purest form, that you're only caring about that other person,
yes.
to have concern for another. And that's whatever word you want to call it, that's
okay.
what spirit
but it's,
use.
Yeah, more selfless, more unselfish. We have another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey there.
Hi, who is this?
My name is Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Hey there, I got a question. As far as I remember, I don't think this number was in your email. So since I knew Marlena wasn't doing that, I was trying to get you by way of your toll-free number, which wouldn't work. And
no,
I'm glad you did it, finally announce the number again.
I did send out an email today with this number about this show.
Okay.
Yes, to the friends list, not the announce list. I sent it to the friends list, and yes, it did have Marlena's number in it. But how are you
okay.
doing?
Okay. But anyway, I've got a question,
okay.
and what I'll do is I will leave it to your discretion. I can ask the question and then hang up, or stay on the line, whichever you or Paul
okay.
prefers.
All right.
Okay. The one thing I wonder about reincarnation is this. If indeed, well, this is sort of a two-part question. if indeed we really had been through lives before, what good does that do us if we have no memories of such? And second of all, if indeed through Christianity or any religion, people received a certain revelation, about the afterlife, and this reincarnation thing is true and not what one's religion teaches, then what certainty do we have of anything? In other words, two things cannot be true at the same exact time. Anyway,
okay, wait a minute. Let me understand. Let me make sure I understand your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you go.
One is,
why would we have it so that we don't remember all these different lives? That's
right.
In other words,
we're not gaining any. If we really did go through several different lives,
you're thinking
we're not gaining any wisdom at all.
Well, okay. So your belief is that we're not gaining by not remembering, and another belief you have is that two things cannot possibly be happening at once. Both what the religion,
life is linear. You know, you're born, you die, and then you're at the judgment. Or reincarnation happens. You can't, in other words...
Well, I would disagree, but what the caller's saying, Paul, is that we can't possibly have it both ways, have reincarnation and have this sort of linear thing of we live life and then we have judgment.
But I welcome your ideas on that, both of you.
Okay. Those are what the caller's saying, Paul, and I was going to ask you, and I think this might fit into that question, if you would talk at all about the life review.
Oh, well, that's kind of interesting because there's a lot of talk, isn't there, in lots of religions about Judgment Day and the day when we go home, when we finish our life, that we get judged. We're all going to, big book comes out and, you know, it'll go through this book saying, okay, you didn't do this right, you did do that right, and there's a choice of hell and heaven. Now, in my view, this is what I've been taught, the only person that can possibly judge you would be the great mind, mm-hmm. but in fact would not. And in fact, the because you chose this life before you came down here, the only person that's going to really judge you is your own self. And you would have lived this life to whatever level you could, and you would then, when you went home, you would then say to yourself, how well did I do? And there'd be others would help you to kind of understand how well you did, and it's not, mm-hmm. You gain a certain amount of progression because of it.
Danny, are you able to hear what Paul is saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, so basically what I understand him to be saying is that, in a way, I don't know if that's really answering your question, but I think in a way that both happen. One, you know, you maybe we go through this life and we meet whoever we have believed in on the other side, but we go through a different sort of a review that is a form of judgment, but it's not necessarily the negative kind of judgment that we're told by way of traditional dogma.
Well, I don't think it's at all negative, Debbie.
No, I don't either.
I think no, it's a positive situation where we review how well we've done in this life, and it's there's no punishment. There's no one's going to smack you on the bottom and say, you know, down you go to hell for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You've just learnt what you have from the life. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could have done better. Maybe you could have done worse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all positive. You've every experience you've learned from.
Sure. Does that answer any of what you were wondering, Danny?
Well, it's given me a great deal to think of. Have you written a book or anything about how you came to your conclusions, Paul?
Paul, he's wondering if you've written any kind of a book about how you came to your conclusions.
Well, on our website there's literature of all sorts of literature on the Erasmus web page, and there is a book actually in existence.
Would you give the website?
Yeah, it's www. erasmus, that's E-R-A-S-M-U-S, hyphen foundation.org. So that's www.erasmus-foundation.org.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, okay, thank you for calling in, Danny.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are going to wrap up this first hour here, but I'm wondering, Paul, is there anything that I haven't asked you or that you would especially like to say before you get to go night-night?
Well, I mean, you know, this subject is so large.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been learning for 25 years plus now about reincarnation and spirituality and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's not something actually you can give to someone else. It's something you have to gain for yourself. And it's just, you know, it's just to recognize that and get to know who you are individually. Get to know yourself and get to like yourself and to give truth at all time. That's what I mean, I sound like I'm preaching, but one of the things I hate is for people not to trust my word, and I think a lot of people feel that way, and that's because there's so much falsehood in the world. You know, I'd love to walk into a bank and say, my name's Paul Nugent, can I have £100 out? But yes, Mr. Nugent, here we are, sign this check, thanks very much, instead of having to go through and check my inside leg measurement and brain scan and fingerprints and everything else, you know, they would take my word for it, and that's because there's not enough truth in the world, and that's all I think.
That makes a lot of sense, and actually I tend to believe the kinder we are to ourselves, the kinder we are to others. I've never seen anybody who loved themselves really, really, truly, not that narcissistic stuff, but who really loved themselves who were then mean to other people, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably true. See a reflection of others and yourself.
Sure,
perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much. This hour has gone by so fast. And
indeed.
It's been great to spend time with you. And I hope that others do contact you and go to the website. And is your email, do you want to give your email?
Well, I can do, yes. My own email is paul.nugent, that's N-U-G-E-N-T, at Seymour, that's S-E-E hyphen M-O-R-E dot B-I-Z. So that's paul.nugent at C-more dot B-I-Z.
That is great. I love that Seymour. That's wonderful.
Yeah, bit corny, isn't it?
It's great. I love it.
Well, it's a training. It's a training job I do for assistive technology. You see, so it has double meaning.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. I know.
All right, Debbie.
I really appreciate you doing this with me and putting up with all the technical stuff. It's not quite the same as Marlena being here. So, but thank you so much.
That's okay. It's a shame I couldn't talk to your callers. I couldn't hear them, unfortunately.
I know.
So
that's our technological. You know, we don't have the phone. We don't have the phone patch that Marlena has. So it's kind of difficult to try to work that out. But anyway.
No, it's been a pleasure anyway.
Thank you so much. All right.
Okay, take care, Daddy.
You
Debbie,
too.
Take care now.
Thank you. You
bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
I've got to bed now. Bye.
All right. Go to sleep. Sleep. Sweet dreams.
I will.
Okay.
See ya.
Sweet dreams.
Bye.
Yes. Okay. And you're listening to the Marlena program. We are now into the second hour. And we're going to pause here with a little bit of music and be right back for some open phones and conversation between us. So I hope you'll call in and chat with me because I don't have anything to talk about for the next hour just by myself. So keep me company, all right? Back with you in a few minutes. Thanks. Thank you. ACB Radio Mainstream, Debbie Hazelton in for Marlena, and I'm glad you're with me. It is into the second hour here, and so if you're listening to this any other time other than 2 o'clock UTC on Tuesday, 9 o'clock or a little after, Eastern PM on Sunday. No, I'm sorry, that's not Tuesday UTC. Monday UTC. What am I saying? I don't know. Anyway, if you're listening to this other times than when we're doing it live, it is after 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific, and it's after 2 o'clock Monday morning UTC. If you're listening to it any other time, then you're listening to the broadcast recording. Ah, wow. Okay, well, if you want to call in, it's Marlena's toll-free number that's working tonight, 866-666-7926. Some of you try my number, but that's what's used in the relationship connection. So it's Marlena's show, 866-666-7926. And Skype is also available now, which is Debbie_Hazelton, if you would like to Skype. We can talk about reincarnation. We can talk about whatever that we want to talk about because it's just between us. So feel free to call in. Don't make me sit here and try to think of what to talk about for the next hour. What's your week been like? Mine's been interesting, kind of crazy, I don't know. It's been an interesting technological week. The other night I managed to, I was trying to do something with Skype, and all of a sudden I found myself in something where it wasn't making any sense because somehow I got into that language combo box and I couldn't get, I got it talking in another language. I don't even know what language it was. Did we ever figure out what language it was?
No, we did not.
It sure sounded pretty funky. And then by the time Larry bailed me out of that, we tried something else to test the sounds, and the whole system locked up and lost speech. And so I was late for the relationship connection the other night. And, I don't know. It's just been, you know, well, Mercury retrograde, as I mentioned earlier, that's something that astrologically happens about 4 times a year where whatever planets it's retrograding in or whatever sign it's retrograding in, it goes backwards. And a lot of things related to technology and transportation and communication just get kind of funky or can get that way. Well, I'll tell you, I've had funky technology. But anyway, here we are, 866-666-7926 if you want to call in. And I'm sitting here, Debbie Hazelton, and Larry's the board guy. He's sitting here, and I mean, I just keep throwing stuff at him. You know, Larry, did you get this? Larry, did you get that? Poor guy, he's like, oh, what does this woman want next?
Kind of put out the fires.
I know. Put out the fires. Yeah. I know. It's tough to be the board guy. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. But he's a pretty good board guy, and he actually did dishes tonight. I'm just, like, absolutely blown away. Do you dishes, or do you just think that that's a woman's work? Well, you know, I think it's everybody's work.
Well, I agree with that, too. I know I haven't done them since you've been...
Since I've been here, since mid-December.
Oh, I've done it since you've been here. But
really?
Yeah.
It was the paper plates that got thrown away. Well, you know, I mean, I must say, I really did upset the apple cart. I mean, I came in here, and Larry was used to grabbing a spoon out of the dish drainer and washing it off and putting it back in the dish drainer. And I came in here and I thought, well, if I'm going to cook, I'm going to have to put dishes away and I'm going to have to get counters cleared off and to be able to cook. Well, he's been doing the pizza rolls and the burritos, frozen things, and every now and then cooking. Yes, indeed. He cooked for me a couple of times, hamburgers and fries. And I know he said he's cooked other things. So I mean, I'm just kind of.
Oh, don't forget those steaks I did.
He did, yes, yeah, steaks. Yeah, me and everybody else. I didn't get them just for me first. I had to wait for everybody else to get them too. But yes, you did cook them and you marinated them. Boy, they were definitely good. I love a good grill friend. And Dave, if you're still listening, I wish you'd call us back because you talked one day about how you charcoal, and I would still like to I didn't get that, but I would love to get that information because I love anything that's charcoal. There's nothing like a good grill friend, you know? I love a good grill friend, and Larry's a good grill friend, but it is a gas grill, and I think gas is slightly inferior to charcoal. I know, it's really kind of a bias that I have.
It is for most of your flavoring, but it does help with a lot of things. What I do to try to compensate for that is I take either hickory or mesquite wood chips, depending on what I'm cooking. And I will actually, it's these big wood chunks, and I'll take those and throw them in. And I also have the lava rocks, and I'll throw those in, you know, and make that flavor, try to get close to that flavor that charcoal will give you.
Oh, boy, let me tell you, there's nothing like a little wood on the rocks, you know? I love my wood on the rocks. I love those wood chips. And, yeah, soak them so that they're nice and damp, and then they last longer. And those lava rocks, oh, wow, what a good flavor. Yeah, that's a good thing. Oh, we got a caller. Maybe I wonder who it is. Maybe it's Dave. We'll see. No, I think it might be. We'll see.
Hello. This is good, since we don't have to worry about a guest here, so we'll get you on.
Oh, okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Dave. I was talking about grilling. I had to call.
Yay, did you hear me calling your name?
Well, no, Pam did. I was doing something else. She says, oh, you did I tell you I grill? I didn't.
Yes, I did.
I grill. I do steaks mainly. Most people are better grillers than I am. But I'm like you. I absolutely... The only grill we have in this house is an old Weber charcoal grill, and boy, I just love putting that charcoal in there.
All right, tell us how you manage that charcoal, because I've always found it a little scary.
Well, okay, it's actually very simple. Any hardware store has what is called a chimney, okay? And what this basically is, it's a charcoal chimney, it's a barbecue chimney, it's like a can with a cylinder with a little divider in the middle of said cylinder. So on the bottom of the cylinder, you put a couple of, maybe a paper bag, something like that, and the top of the cylinder you fill with the charcoal. Now, this cylinder has a handle on it, so first, and it's got little holes in it, so first of all, you light the paper bag or whatever you got in there that you're going to use for fuel. The nice thing about this is, I've barbecued for how many years now? 12, 13, 14 years, and I've never used one single drop of lighter fluid ever. And you just use paper bag, and you put this in, and light it up, and then allow the charcoal to ignite. And once that happens, maybe seven or eight minutes, then you take the handle of this gadget, and you dump it over into the pan, and you're there.
Into the grill pan.
It's a grill pan, right. And then you put the grill over it. Now, Pam told me, I had never grilled before I met Pam. I'd never touched it.
That's because she was waiting for you to be a
grill friend.
She learned
one thing from, or had heard from the National Federation of Blind People that do it, that the best way to go is to use welding mitts. So we went out and bought welding mitts, and those are really cool because you can actually manhandle the charcoal if you want to while it's burning, and you know it's. And so I use those sometimes, and sometimes if I don't, you know, I don't feel the need, I don't. But they're there, in case, you know.
Okay, let me try to get a good picture of this. The chimney is a part of. Is it part of your grill?
No. You buy it at any local hardware store, probably cost you $15.
Okay, and it's round, I guess.
It's round, like a big can.
Okay.
And it's like a big can that's open on both ends, and in the middle of the can. Okay, picture this. Picture a tuna can, okay?
Okay.
In fact, picture two tuna cans, which are open.
Okay.
You've opened both tuna cans, and picture that you put the two tuna cans together.
Okay.
The top of one or the bottom of one to the bottom of the other.
Okay.
So you've got an open side on the top and an open side on the bottom, and you've got a middle piece in the middle. The difference is that there's a hole. This piece is it's in the middle of where the closed parts of the can would be. There are holes so you can so that the heat will exchange from the charcoal to the. To the newspaper or the fuel, the bottom of this, as I said, that goes into the charcoal onto the charcoal pan. That's where you put some kind of fuel. Usually, it's a piece of paper. I use paper bags. I got a whole closet full of paper bags out there that I use just for that purpose.
So when you put that in, you put that paper in, and then you do you light it before you put this other can part of the cylinder over it, or you put the cylinder over it and then you light it?
The cylinder is one piece, first of all. Okay? The cylinder is one piece. So what you've got is you've got on the top of the cylinder, you've got the charcoal in there, and yes, you put that in before you light everything. And then the bottom is where the paper is. And you light it from the bottom, and the flame goes from the bottom up, and it lights the charcoal, which is on top of the top of this chimney.
Mm. And is that cylinder in your grill at the time?
That's in the grill, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very interesting.
You take the top part of the grill off, you know, where you're actually going to grill the meat. You take that off, and then, like in this Weber that I've got, it's got a grill, you know, a charcoal pan at the bottom, and that's what you use to, that's where you put this thing. And then once it's all lit, and it takes a little while, then you just take it with, you know, take it by the handle. It's got a wooden handle on it, so it's not going to, burn you. And then you dump it over, and, you know, it just dumps over in a nice little pile, and there you have it.
Oh, okay. So you dump it over, and then you put your grating on top.
You put the chimney aside. You know, I have a big cement patio out here, so I just put it over the side, away from everything, so it's, you know, cause it's a little
so it'll cool down. Yeah.
Your hand.
That's where those welder's mitts are coming in, because then you could spread the charcoal out if it's too much in a pile.
Yeah.
And then I gather you are able to know by how high your flame is and.
Yeah, I just kind of manage, you know, I just kind of put my hand up there and kind of know where things are going. Yeah, you're reminding me of another story. The one time I made the mistake of buying, you know, that match light stuff they call it.
Yes.
That's not good for blind people, trust me. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is interesting. It looked a little oily, but I just, you know, put it in the chimney like I always do, and I lit up. I about set the whole neighborhood on fire.
Man,
I had flame going up. I just stood back and prayed. What did I do?
Oh man!
Call the fire department.
Please, Charlie, don't come out here. I've got this neighbor named Charlie. He's a real cool guy, but he gets a little uneasy when he sees me doing things that he thinks I ought not to be doing. One of which is barbecuing. He's about my dad. My dad would be if he was still alive. So, you know, he's kind of. And the one time when I first started, he kind of goes, he came out and said, Dave, isn't it a little smoky over there? I just say to myself, please, Charlie, don't come out of your house. Please, Charlie, don't come out of your house.
What did you throw water at?
The gods of barbecue must have been with me because he didn't.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to throw water at because that with that oil and stuff like that, that's they call it a Class B fire,
oh,
and that
would
just cause it to spread.
Well, because a lot of times.
No. All you could do is pray.
Oh,
really,
okay.
Unless
really?
You've got a fire extinguisher that handles a Class B fire.
Because a lot of times people do throw water at a charcoal fire when they're grilling.
If it, that's no good. You don't want to do that.
No.
Okay. Good to know.
No.
Good to know.
If it's just straight wood, it's okay. But if it's got, you know, oil or lighter fluid in it, then that's bad.
Like this stupid matchlight stuff did. I've never bought any of that since then. Now, I might actually, it might be a not bad idea to have one of that around, and you can put maybe one or two of the charcoal briquettes on top of the thing and light those. But that would be the only thing I would do. You know, I wouldn't try any other way.
Yeah, I wonder if you put them on there and lit it up the way you normally lit it up, if the one or two on top would just kind of get lit on their own.
They might actually, what they would probably do is just, they'd probably flame out and not do anything. Because you really need to have the fire going up the spout instead of down, so that it catches the briquettes. Cause,
wow.
That's why it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work to just, it wouldn't work to just light a match and hold it to one of the briquettes and stop. You've got to have it, you know, you got to have a flame going up through the briquettes so that it catches them. And I don't know. Well, maybe it might work because I guess this is what lighter fluid does. I guess lighter fluid is just pour it on top and then light it.
Wow. Yeah, that's what they do because then it eventually it'll catch.
Do. That's not what I do.
No. Well, like I said, I have a gas grill that's pretty good. I mean, it's a nice one. It's a three burner plus a side burner, and I just I have lava rocks in there that hold the heat very well. And then for that flavor that charcoal would give you, I buy those hickory or the mesquite wood chips.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I'll put them in there, and they'll catch, and they'll add that extra flavor to the food.
I don't know, though. I think we should get a little grill.
We were not too far from where you live in Orlando. We were in Winter Springs, which is in Seminole County, I guess. We were there back in September at Pam's cousin's home.
Oh, wow.
We have a beautiful, beautiful home with a beautiful, beautiful gas grill. And Pam was telling, because he was gone, so Pam was telling me, I'm sorry, my phone is acting up. Pam was telling them, oh, Dave can grill. And, you know, she, because her daughter wanted something different than chicken. Her mom was, she says, well, Dave will be happy to grill. And so she came home and then realized, oh, no, it's a gas grill. I know nothing. And I said, I don't know anything about a gas grill. I'm up to a challenge. So I tried to figure out why there are three burners on the grill, for one thing. Maybe you can tell me that, Larry. I couldn't figure out which one. And I ultimately got the thing started and by their directions, but why are there three burners? I guess just to vary the heat?
It spreads the heat. It helps spread the heat around.
Some things are cooked indirectly, too.
I figured out, well, it must be, you must have to use the knob toward you, toward you to get the thing started. That's what I think works, anyway.
Most of them, if they have an igniter,
you press the igniter, but I couldn't, I don't know, I'm not sure what we finally did to get the stupid thing to work.
Yeah, the best thing, if it has igniter, the best thing to do is first open up the burner that is closest to the igniter, and that would usually be the knob that's closest to the igniter.
On the back, usually, yeah.
Yep, and then once that burner is lit, then you open up the other ones, and they'll light off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes, too, things are cooked in direct heat and direct heat. You know, it varies, like, depending on what you're making. Like, I've heard that sometimes things are put on indirect heat that are going to cook a lot slower and,
Right, you know, like corn on the cob. Yeah, some people cook that on there, and that you don't need a direct flame for.
Well, I must admit, I wouldn't mind trying it because, you know, it's a lot more work to do this. What I do takes some effort. You know, it can't just say, gee, I think I'll barbecue a steak tonight. You know, it needs a little effort. You got to make sure you've got, you know, charcoal in the garage, you know, and all that stuff.
Well, and plus then, you know, you got a lot more to clean out, too. I mean, you got to empty all that out.
It does take a little more prep. But
I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house for dinner because I like charcoal any day. I mean, I'm ready to go out and buy a little grill and get that chimney.
I'll put you way out in the yard so you can practice first.
Grill is fine. You know, just anything. And if you go into, like, we have a Orchard Supply, I'm sure Lowe's, go into any of those places, just tell them you want a barbecue chimney. There are usually two different sizes. sizes. I think the regular size is fine. I don't think you need the super big one.
Well, see, he's threatening to put me out in the yard to practice, but I'm not doing it unless he's with me. So, so there.
I hear Orlando calling us. Maybe we're going to have to take a trip back there and show you guys something.
If you get into Orlando, you come see us. We would love to have you here.
Absolutely.
So that
yep.
would be fun. You let us know.
Well, I got to go. This phone is doing things that I have no idea what it's doing, but I hope it's not transferring over to your line.
We hear a little bit, but
clicking.
It's nothing.
It's all right.
Yeah, no showstopper.
Well, thanks
right.
so much
I'll
for... I thought
all.
It was your charcoal.
Yep,
okay. Bye. I just thought it was the charcoal grill going sizzling for us. No, I knew that. But anyway, it's the Marlena program, and we're into the last half hour. If you would like to call in, 866-666-7926. I'm Debbie Hazelton, filling in for Marlena here on ACB Radio Mainstream, and Larry the board guy is here chiming his 2 cents in, threatening to put me way out in the yard if I'm going to charcoal.
Well, in Florida insurance is high enough. I don't need to go.
Listen here. I should start saying that about his handiwork around here, that, you know, but I can't because it's his house and he does know a lot. So we're going to hear more about that next week. But yeah, well, he hasn't put me outside with my cooking yet, but I did manage
to... No, your cooking's great.
Thank you. I did manage to start a little fire in the toaster oven when I was first here, though. I did. I was, and I wasn't trying to charcoal. I cooked some toast. I did some toast, and then I looked at it, and it wasn't crisp, and so... I closed the little toaster oven door, and I thought, you know, while I'm waiting on it, instead of pushing it down again, I'm going to make some eggs. So I made some eggs, and then I decided, oh, let me push this toaster down again. But since it had already partially cooked, I should have turned it down so it wouldn't get too dark. Oh, no, I didn't do that. All of a sudden, I smelled it burning, and I thought, oh, I got to get that. But let me put my food out on my plate, you know. And, well, all of a sudden, I could tell that it was a little too late, and I could hear it. I could hear that fire, you know, sound, and I thought, that's odd, you know. So I opened the toaster oven door, and I could feel it, too. And so I did throw little drops of water, just a little bit. I didn't want to throw too much because the toaster oven was plugged in, too.
Yeah, that's an electric.
I know. But I did, and then I could tell that the fire was out, and I started panicking, thinking, you know, if that awful smell alerts the alarm system, I don't, you know, we haven't really done much with the alarm system since I've been here. So I panicked and I raced to my room to get my phone, and I tripped on something and broke it. Some things that I was going to put up yet that I still haven't put up, decoration things. I actually broke it. It was a favorite container for all my incense and stuff. And so then I grabbed the phone, I called Larry, and I said, how do we work this alarm system in case it goes off? I just had a little fire in the microwave. And so he told me and what the password is, and, you know, he talked about the buttons. Of course, I don't remember all that now because we still haven't really done it. And so I got off the phone, and I went back to the toaster oven. The fire was out, but I had a – no, I think I told him this on the phone – I had a paper plate outside of the toaster oven, which caught fire. And I said, oh, I have this paper plate that caught fire. And he said, he said, did you put a paper plate in the microwave? I mean, in the toaster oven? I said, no, I know, I'm not that dumb. And I said, but it was outside the toaster oven. And somehow the fire got to it and it made a hole in it. So I thought about saving it because it was rather interesting. The hole actually looked like a little heart, and I love hearts. You know, everything. I have lots of hearts everywhere. And I said, "Wow, this is interesting. It looks like a heart. You know, I guess it's kind of like heartburn." So I would say I'm not that dumb, and yet, you heard my story a couple weeks ago about putting the cup of coffee in the microwave with a spoon in it. Little overload. Yes, indeed. Well, So I guess it was right for him to sound a little exclaiming of, you didn't put a paper plate in the toaster oven, did you? He could have said, if I had done it after the microwave, he could have said, well, you did put a spoon in the microwave.
Well, just kind of picture this from my head. You know, somebody tells you, oh, I burnt toast in the toaster oven. Oh, the paper plate got burned too. And it's like, okay, you're deducing two things. I mean, what do you... The first thing you're thinking is, wait a minute, the only way that could have happened is if the paper plate was in the toaster oven too. But yeah, if it was right next, you know,
right there. That's yeah. That means the fire was starting to come out.
The fire had rolled out and hit the plate.
God, that's scary, man.
Yeah.
That's scary stuff. Just that toast getting a little too done. You know, I have heard of people using the smoke alarm as a timer.
Yeah.
When their food is done.
I guess that would work with normal smoke alarms, but I have a combination smoke alarm security system, you know, that handles fires, burglaries, and all that sort of thing, and it would be ringing the Orange County Fire Department, and that wouldn't be good.
Well,
they don't like false alarms.
Maybe what that is it's a timer that goes off and it alerts people to come and eat. No, I guess not.
No. Because no. We would have to pay them to eat.
Oh, no. And then we might not be able to afford to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I sound like a dumb blonde, but I'm really not. 866-666-7926. Come on, people. Call on in and have a chat. We got a little bit more time to go on this Marlena show. Another, about 17 or 18 minutes.
23 minutes.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Well, maybe it is. 23 minutes. And we're talking about whatever. We're just kind of hanging out. And I made a big dinner tonight. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and cauliflower. Homemade mashed potatoes. Yum. Homemade meatloaf. I'm trying to think. I have to go and get something to drink when we get off the air. I'm thirsty. So, it's been quite a interesting day with all kinds of technological stuff going on. And what's been going on with you? What's been going on with you all? Anything at all that you would like to talk about? And I don't know, Larry, what you got coming up this week? Anything interesting?
Work-wise, no. We just did a production migration last week, so now this week will probably be pretty quiet. And then as far as radio shows on Interactive, got Anything Goes coming on Friday from 1 to 3 UTC. I'm not sure exactly if we're going to feature any themes or not. I'll have to get back to you on that one. And then we have the dance party from 0 to 2 UTC on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I will have a very busy week because I have my Interactive show tomorrow morning, actually 15 to 18 UTC on Monday tomorrow. Then I have to go somewhere Tuesday to interview with some people about chair massage. Thursday, I'm doing massages at a spa. Friday and Saturday, I'm in school all day. And then next Sunday, it's another Marlena show, and then Marlena will be back. So, and then I'm getting ready to go out of town that week that she's back. So, yep, and then when I get back, you're going away for a weekend.
Yeah, just slightly for a weekend. There's a guide dog school that has their annual walk-a-thon. And
how are you getting there? Have you figured that
probably
out?
Probably going to greyhound it.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, goodness. Well, nobody's calling in. You want to play something? You got anything queued up?
Well, let's see. We'll play this, and we'll get some promos worked in as well.
All right, and we'll be right back.
On ACB Radio Mainstream, join Bonnie Bloss as she talks with the authors you'll love to read. It's Books and Beyond, Sundays beginning at 1 hour Universal and repeating every 3 hours for the rest of the day. Books and Beyond on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community.
Put Rachel Espy and Larry T. together and anything goes. Hits from the 70s to today is what it's all about. It's Anything Goes, Friday at 1 hour Universal on ACB Radio Interactive.
Monday.
Oh no, not another Monday. You betcha it's another Monday. So join me, Debbie Hazelton, right here on ACB Radio Interactive for Good Energy Mix. I'll be playing some jazz and some oldies and some fun stuff and finding whatever musical gems I can to add to your day, whether you're at work or at play. Oh, you never know what'll happen. Sometimes even my cat sings and there's fun conversation and it's just a great time, so I hope you'll be here. 15 to 18 UTC, Good Energy Mix, each and every Monday. With me, Debbie Hazelton, right here on ACB Radio Interactive.
Yes, indeed, Good Energy Mix, tomorrow morning. I love that show. I have such a great time with listeners and music and my cat and, oh gosh, I don't know. Sometimes I do a little housework and you might hear some vacuuming, but... Well, you know, it's just to make things really interesting. So we're into the last, 16 minutes or so. If you would like to call in 866-666-7926. I want to remind you also that The Relationship Connection is my newest show, and it's on Saturday morning 2 to 4 UTC. That's Friday night 9 to 11 Eastern, 8 to 10 Central, 6 to 7 to 9 Mountain, and 6 to 8 Pacific. If you would like to take that in, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's last week we had a lot of technical weird stuff happening, but it's an interesting show that we talked about here on the Marlena show a few month or more ago. You know, I've had a couple people, had different people write me, many of you, you know, saying really appreciative comments about it. But every now and then I've had somebody writing and saying, well, what are you doing talking about relationships? Or what do you know about relationships? Well, I have been a mental health professional for over 20 years, but I've been a practicing human for over 50. I think we all know a lot about relationships if we look to what we've learned and where we've lived. And this particular person seemed to think that relationship connection had to do only with quote-unquote, I guess, sexual relationships or more intimate relationships. And I said, well, number one, you don't know everything that I do. And number two, there are so many relationships that affect us outside of the bedroom, and thereby also affect us inside the bedroom and certainly inside ourselves. And so we're talking about all kinds of relationship connections. We talked about love the other day. We've talked about friendships. We've talked about touch. And I'm really open to your ideas of what it is you would like to talk about and, you know, would love to incorporate some of your interests and thoughts on that. And I know there was a lot of interest in hoping, you know, that show would get off the ground. So I look to more of your input of what you would like. And we've had some interesting callers and some interesting discussion and lots of thoughts and lots of interesting emails that have come from it. I think there are so many more things to talk about that affect us. And you know, and maybe we'll talk about social skills and what did we learn and what did we take in and what do we do today? How much are we on top of our own social skills? Do we think to give out what we get? I mean, do we think of the thank yous and the pleases and the hi, how are you, and is there anything I can do for you, or how's your day, or how did you sleep, or I mean, do we think of the kindness things to say socially? Do we look at other people when we're talking to them? Do we, do we listen when people are talking, or do we just kind of go off in our own way? And lots of things, lots and lots of things. So anyway, that's a little bit about the relationship connection. And I was hoping Marlena was going to call us tonight, but she hasn't yet. 866-666-7926. About 12 minutes left if you would like to call. Would love to hear from you. And I'm Debbie Hazelton, and Larry the Board Guy is here. I hear Scout, Larry's dog, out in the hallway, probably wondering when in the world we're going to come out of here. My cat is around here somewhere, probably sleeping. You know, maybe next week I'll bring my cat in and let you hear him purring, because, oh, man, can he purr.
Either he'll purr or he'll just start boxing you.
We won't let that happen. We'll only have him purring on the air. It's, you know, he's learned proper social on-air protocol, you know. He knows that he's not allowed to do that boxing and biting on the air. Just like some people have learned they're not allowed to say certain things on the air. So
say what?
What? Beep! You'll hear more about that on the Relationship Connection, a very funny little promo that we started to make today. Yep. So what else? What else? Are you going to have a snack tonight?
I might.
Yeah.
I did see some ice cream left in there.
There is ice cream. There are still ice cream sandwiches. There's still two kinds of cheesecake in there. And there's all kinds of cookies. You know what I found? What I found that you got yesterday? I love those Girl Scout cookie mints. Those mints.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't find any Girl Scouts this year, so I said,
that's strange. I haven't found any either.
I don't know. So I said, well, let's get either some grasshoppers or some Mystic Mints. And we found, was it the grasshoppers we found?
Yep, that was the ones we found.
Oh, they taste just like those mints. Yes, they do, and they're certainly a lot less expensive. Sorry, Girl Scouts, but you guys weren't around. So we got some of those. Yum, yum, yum. They are good, good, good. Mm-mm-mm. And, yeah, we have two kinds of cheesecake in the freezer in the refrigerator, because last weekend we had company. That's why I didn't do the show last week. We had, actually, some of you may remember Dave Williams, who used to be the director of ACB Radio. He was here with us from the UK, darling. And so I made lasagna and garlic bread and a huge salad, and I made an Italian cheesecake and a sweet potato cheesecake and fresh whipped cream and strawberries. And so anyway, that
all
was
that's,
fun.
Yeah, all that cheesecake is very good. It's just if I eat too much of it at a time, I will pay for it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, it can be rich, and so, I don't know, may end up throwing some of it out. I don't know, but good stuff. Lots of fun. So, what else? I don't know. 866-666-7926, about 6 minutes left. We just have another couple minutes, and then we're going to close out with a song that I always use on all my programs just to remind us of how important it is to you know, keep each other in your heart. Keep us all together in our hearts, because that's where we really all are, and that's where we're really all so connected, and we're always connected. And so I like to remind us of that and the importance of keeping our love alive, keeping all that love alive in our hearts. And, you know, this week is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day happens this week, and I hope you'll use it to remember love in whatever the highest sense is that you know it to be, of what you know love to be, and reach out to the people around you in some kind of way, whatever it is that you are most comfortable doing. You know, you don't have to go out and buy cards. You don't have to go out and buy candy, although it's lovely, but you don't have to. You can just be there. There's nothing like being emotionally available to other people and giving what Paul discussed as that concern for other people that gets us beyond ourselves. What a wonderful thing that is. All right. I'm going to say have a wonderful week, and we'll be back next week. And here's Amy Carroll Webb to remind you, with you and without you, we're always connected. Lots and lots of love. Have a great week, and be good to yourself.
You walk out, and I walk in, and another solitary day begins. Silent shimmers of your light reflect on everything within my sight. Shining on me, shining on me. Quiet falls behind goodbye, and I'm left within the endless only I. Holy echoes of your voice, chanting unison of love's rejoice. With us.